You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat. I'm your host, Lance White. Before I announce tonight's guest, a good friend, Jill Lamede, wrote the following to me. In recognition of World AIDS Day, Saturday, December 1st, I am offering my book free on Amazon Kindle from tomorrow, Friday 30th, November, to Tuesday, the 4th of December. It's called, quote, It, unquote, A Wife's Journey Through by Jill Lamede. It's a true story about having been given the AIDS virus by her husband and is ultimately a story of triumph and love. Since I'm also living with HIV and AIDS for over 31 years now and wrote extensively about my journey through addictions and with HIV and AIDS in my book, Tales of a Zany Mystic, I too am offering a free signed copy of my book to three people who either cannot afford to buy one or who are living with AIDS who request a copy. My book is also available on Kindle, and your purchase helps to support my radio show and my next book. You can write me at zanymystic59@yahoo.com for a free signed copy in recognition of World AIDS Day today. Tonight, my guest is Dean Henderson. I was so impressed with Dean's writing on Veterans Day that I requested a copy of his eye-opening book, Big Oil and Their Bankers in the Persian Gulf, Four Horsemen, Eight Families, and Their Global Intelligence, Narcotics, and Terror Network. This book should be required reading for all high school students and anyone going into politics with the idea of making a positive change. It should also be required reading for the general masses, you and me and everyone else. He is also the author of Sticking It to the Matrix and the Grateful Unrich, Revolution in 50 Countries. Dean was born on a South Dakota cattle ranch. He earned a BLS at the University of South Dakota and an MS in Environmental Studies at the University of Montana. He has traveled to 50 countries on six continents. His articles have appeared Multinational Monitor, In These Times, Paranoia Magazine, and other journals. He founded and edited one of America's first zines, the Missoula Paper. In 2004, Dean won the Democratic primary for Congress in Missouri's 8th District. He currently writes weekly columns on his Left Hook blog at www.deanhenderson.wordpress.com. So let's welcome him to the show now. Hi, Dean. How are you?
I'm good, Lance. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, I love your irreverent and rebellious writing style, and I'll tell you, your book on Big Oil pulls no punches. You did not leave any stone unturned, and I thought I knew a few things about various conspiracy facts, but every page was chock full of information that I was unaware of. So I just have to give you high praise and kudos for having written such an astounding book.
Well, I appreciate that, Lance. I'm glad that you read it. It's definitely not for the faint of heart, pretty dense. But I just tried to connect the dots, and I guess that's what we got to do, you know, just try to piece this thing together. And it's pretty
absolutely
big.
What are some of the biggest discrepancies that you find the general public has about our society and government and various agencies and bankers and the whole business of the world show that is a common thread that they don't know about? What is one of the, there's so many things that we can talk about, but what are some of the more eye-opening aspects of your research that people really just don't know about?
Well, there's a couple of major themes that you probably picked up on in the book, Lance. And the first is that, you know, the real power in the world still kind of lies in the city of London, and the British Empire never really died. And in some sense, even the United States, even though we had a Revolutionary War, we're still under the thumb of these European bankers who base in the city of London, which is its own jurisdiction and everything. And it, you know, a lot of the blame for, of course, our asinine foreign policy, you know, is just that. But I think what people don't understand is that we're being used, and it doesn't benefit our country at all. And it actually does benefit this global oligarchy that I talk about a lot in the book, because really that's what we're up against. Where, you know, people want to hate America. I've done a lot of traveling, and, you know, Europeans want to hate America, but it's bigger than that. You have to think bigger than that. It's not about nation states anymore. They don't really have any power, actually, anymore. It's about a global oligarchy. Mm-hmm. And I think another big theme in the book is just how the Islamic fundamentalists are actually a tool of these British bankers, and how Israel is also a tool of these bankers. And they make it look like these two forces oppose each other, mm-hmm. but they actually use these two forces to fight wars, to start wars, to fight each other, mm-hmm. and, you know, sell guns to both sides, oil to both sides. I mean, it really comes down to economics. It comes down to, you know, qui bono, follow the money, as the French say. And so there's a couple things there. And also I just think the general naivete of people and sort of trusting the media, the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. You read that book and it's just, I mean, you watch CNN and it's pretty much you take it 180 degrees from what they're saying and that'll be the truth. It's that bad.
Right. 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 No kidding. You know, and of course, one of the main reasons why all of the media that we're going to find on the usual outlets, television and probably most radio, is owned by those same groups, mm-hmm. and more or less run by it. They don't seem to really care about a lot of these little shows or even some of the bigger shows. Alex Jones might be one of them, and David Icke is doing a lot of work on spreading some information too. But they don't really worry about that because it seems they need to have something out there that allows people to think that, well, if we really aren't free, then how come these people are getting away with saying these things? So they have to have somebody out there that is talking about what you and I are talking about, and they know in the scheme of things that probably will be forgotten 5 minutes later, and most people won't believe it in the first place.
Yeah, and not enough people even know about those sites that you mentioned, which are good ones. And I think the other thing, well, I think to the crux of the matter, I remember the very first interview I ever did about this book was with Len O'Sonic on Black Op Radio in Canada, Vancouver, and he asked me, you know, why is it so hard to get people to believe this stuff? And that's the rub of it, right? And I think what it is, I really think it's that, you know, look, 99.99% of people are good people. They may be misguided, ignorant, you know, doing, you know, some bad things, but generally they're not evil. You know, they're looking out for their family. They're trying to make a living, trying to get through this world. It's not easy. And then there's this little tiny, you know, 0.01%, and it's just really hard for people to sort of break from this this faith in humanity, which you shouldn't do. But then to separate these people out from the rest of us, whether or not they're actually aliens or lizards or, you know, what their trip is, or just power-hungry greed heads, you know, or whatever, inbred to the point of drunk and, you know, arrogance, I don't know, but well, that's a whole other can of worms. But you know, it's just so hard for people to do that, to accept that there is this tiny bunch of people who are just really pure evil and who really are, and just, you know, basically feed off of war and bad energy and negativity and want things to go just the opposite of what you and your family would want to see happen. So I think that's really the hardest thing, is just getting people to sort of accept that. And once they do, they're on the road. And there's honestly, there's more and more people on that road every day, I think. you know, to truth.
Yes, I would agree with you. And, you know, with one thing that it seems like the global elite, I'm just lumping them all together now, have really tipped their hands, because they must feel that they have the New World Order schemes or transhumanist agenda or eugenics agenda pretty much running at full speed right now, with chemtrails and the fluoridated water and the, you know, the bioengineering and nanotechnology and so on and so forth. They must feel pretty secure, because you know, we still don't see any news on the news about chemtrails, which have been going on for 12 or 15 years, or about any of the other groups that are manipulating behind the scenes, which now we're beginning to be able to put names to them, like the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, and so on and so forth. So they're coming out more openly, and we're beginning to be able to see them, but they're putting such a positive spin on things, mm-hmm. On the surface, that, you know, the majority of people who are out there just being brainwashed and sidetracked in the grip of trying to survive, since the funds are being vacuumed out of all countries intentionally with giant Hoovers. You know, we're kept busy with bread and circuses and entertainment and games and the rest of it. So it's pretty much like the Roman Empire. Do you foresee a fall on the horizon? I mean, can the global elite keep this play up forever?
Well, they've kept it up for an awful long time.
Yeah.
You know, thousands of years, really, if you look at the big picture. But, I mean, we are, I think, at a time in history, and there's not very many of these times, where there is a great awareness, and, you know, maybe it's tied to some astrological features even. But, you got to go back to the 30s at least, when you get this kind of anger towards bankers, for example, and maybe the 1890s before you get this kind of populism, and, you know, maybe the 1830s when you had the anti-Mason party, before you have an awareness of the Illuminati and the Masons and the conspiracy stuff. So it's not going to be easy, and I think we're going to have to have friends in high places. I am encouraged by Veterans Today, which is where you, I guess, found out about me. This is a bunch of military guys, and hey, they're doing the right thing, and actually set me up to do interviews on Press TV. We just did a series called The International Banking Cartel. It's three parts so far, and I think they're going to do more, but that's the state TV station of Iran, and so you got people in our military working with the state TV station of Iran, so I don't know. I mean, Rajiv Gupta's going to jail. Goldman Sachs, the first banker, is actually going to jail. That's for sure now. And I really think, I don't know what you think of Obama. I mean, I'm just, you know, the guy, one minute he just torques me off, and the next minute I think he's actually kind of knows. I mean, Gordon Duff at Veterans Day told me he knows about 9/11 being an inside job. He said Obama knows a lot of things. So what's he going to do now that he's a lame duck? What's he going to do now he doesn't need money? Is he going to go after these guys? If he does, he better go full force. And, you know, there's talk of this Federal Reserve Charter being up next year. I'm not sure if it's true. I'm still trying to find out. Some people say it's due on the 21st of December coming up here, which is pretty interesting coincidence with the Mayan calendar stuff.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, other people say it's, you know, so are they going to cook up something anyway, you know, even if this stuff isn't real? Have they trotted all this out ahead of time so that there is going to be something, some third world war? You know, is it going to come in a moment of desperation, which is often what happens, meaning that they are under pressure from this administration or Congress in some way, that you're going to revoke that charter or expose these guys more? I wrote a couple articles about HSBC and, you know, well, it's called HSBC, the world's dirtiest bank, and the Obama Justice Department got a hold of it, actually wrote me, circulated it. Within a few months, they were prosecuting them for helping the Mexican drug cartel, just part of an article. So, yeah, I mean, there is these things. I know. So there is
way
these
to go.
there is these things going on, and I just don't know. I mean, I know they're. I think the thing to remember is they're not omnipotent, and they're not even that smart. You know, really, when it comes right down to it, they actually have inbred to the point where I think they can't even think straight. But they got a lot of money, and so
they can connections.
Keep throwing that out there and lying to people and using their media, which they own. But there's this new media. There's the internet, and kids. Young kids, they don't watch news on TV anymore. They get online, they get on their cell phone or their iPhone or whatever. And I mean, it's kind of a revolution in media going on here with your show, for example, my blog. I mean, all these different things out there. So, I'm not sure. I mean, all I know is I learned a long time ago that, it's not about winning or losing. It's about retaining your dignity and your sense of self and just keeping fighting on the right side. And if we go down with the ship, hey, that's what happens. I want to win. I'm not, I don't like losing. I used to play football and everything else. I'm a pretty competitive guy, actually. But, I'm not, it doesn't really factor into my decision-making whether we win or lose, put it that way. It just factors in that I got to have my integrity. I got to keep telling the truth wherever I go.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, for me, it's about digging and discovering what the truth is, whatever that is. And even though one actor's line became famous, you can't handle the truth, I think that is an old part of an old era in which we were told that, and that was reinforced by think tanks, which decided that we could not handle any kind of information about extraterrestrials, that it would throw us into a panic. And so that's been held up as a mantra by the elite think tanks for decades now, that we can't handle anything. And, of course, we're being intentionally dumbed down through the education system. Fluoride is being put into baby food. Television is mind control at its worst. And, by the time a kid gets to be 3 or 4, he's already he's split in a multitude of different directions, and mainly told that he needs to go shopping and buy stuff. So, it's really a sick society that we're living in, and we have been disempowered. And the information that you're sharing and that we're talking about here is information which empowers us.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, Lance, why my wife and I, I grew up on a cattle ranch, I went to the city for a while, got my education, and I just had to get out. It's just this latest book I wrote, Sticking It to the Matrix. I wrote that this last July, and it's pretty much about how to get out of the system and then just kind of extract from it and abuse it, to kind of go on offense. But, I mean, we live on 42 acres at the end of the road, no neighbors, and we have chickens and ducks and pigs and a big garden, and, firewood is what we, heat with, and we just really try to, I go to town literally once a week, so I'm sitting out here writing this stuff on my blog, but and I'm connected to the bigger world that way, but I'm also really isolated here locally and just trying to, really separate from that whole system, because it is evil, and I think the less contact that, that you can have with it, the more human you can remain, because we have to retain our humanity. That's first and foremost, and a lot of people have sort of ditched that already. It's sad, but that's kind of a how-to manual that book is, and then other books is the travel book, and I think people need to travel more too. So kind of three different books, but it's kind of the same theme in a way, but people need to travel more. Americans are so scared of traveling, and don't go there, it's dangerous and all this, but it's really it'll open your eyes so much, because first of all, you'll realize how spoiled we are and how easy we have it, and how much we have, and way too much, and just how close people are living to the edge everywhere else. I mean, and then you'll see the same corporations and the same banks abusing these people, and that's one of the reasons I was able to connect all these dots. I mean, all the time I was researching that big oil book for 14 years, I was also traveling, and, you'd read articles in the Bangkok Post or the a Guatemalan newspaper or whatever, and you just okay, there's a connection, and just seeing stuff, and so I think awareness is still where it's at, and at all different levels, I think you know, we really got to return ourselves to the basics and at the same time keep attacking these bad people and exposing them. I think it's a two-pronged strategy, at least for mine is, you know.
Well, you know, there is, of course, a huge part of what's going on is this pump-and-dump scheme that has to do with the banks, and then the manipulated wars that make money for the various industries that get contracts, and, of course, then you've got the land and the oil and the rest of it. So it all, you know, it all makes sense, but it seems like there is there's an undercurrent that is stating that there is actually, in fact, I think Gordon Duff wrote a piece on Veterans Today about the Lewanta trillions, and this is not a new story, but it actually goes back quite a bit, and that there is an undercurrent of many, many, many trillions of dollars that have been held on behalf of the rebuilding the country that have been intentionally manipulated, drained, and attempted to steal from. And I know some of my friends that are in media are working in a subterranean way on establishing a safety net for the potential that there may be some kind of a rigged financial collapse that is intended to bring us down. So I don't know what will occur. There certainly is a house of cards being built with the sale of collateralized debt obligations and all those various instruments of bad debt that are being bundled and sold and resold. And it seems that has a finite period of time, as does printing money out of thin air. So sooner or later, that's going to come to has to come to the surface, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think I got a lot of issues and I ran for Congress and, you know, I've been an activist my whole life, but the more I studied it and the more I, you know, refined my outlook, we have to nationalize the Federal Reserve. We just have to. That's mm-hmm. the only way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, $16 trillion debt, and everybody thinks that's to the Chinese and stuff, but it's really not. I mean, the Chinese own about $1.5 billion, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Japs own another $1 billion. You know, Saudis and Kuwaitis, another $1.5 billion, all those GCC countries. But, you know, $12 billion of that is owed to what I've kind of coined the phrase, the eight families. And it's these eight families that own the, you know, 52% of the New York Fed, which is, you know, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Goldman Sachs, Lazard, Israel, Moses, Saif, Kunlo, Warburg, Lehman. And
mm-hmm.
so it's just ridiculous. I mean, we're being held hostage. This whole fiscal cliff debate, for example, I mean,
right.
it's all about austerity, again, for poor people, middle class. You know, ever since Reagan, they've already cut food stamps. They've already, you know, they've gone after poor people in all these different ways. They've privatized everything, merged everything. There's nothing public anymore except public libraries and national forests. That's about it. Now some of those even you got to pay to hike on trailheads. You know,
right?
I mean, it's
right.
ridiculous. Those are our forests. You know, so the
right.
public commons has been looted by these people, and not only that, but then they put
right.
us into debt. And the only answer is to just nationalize it and go into that New York Fed, which apparently has, you know, the biggest gold storage in the world on its third subfloor. Probably most of it stolen from Fort Knox, which was government-owned gold. Now it's being held as debt collateral. Go in there, arrest them, take the gold back, and then there's a whole series of things we have to do when we do this all at once, because if you don't do it all at once, these guys, they will collapse your economy. They'll crash the dollar. So, you know, you got to link your currency. You got to delink your currency like Malaysia did in 98. They were the only country in Southeast Asia that did that, and they came out of that unscathed, you know, when Soros uh-huh. went in there and looted those countries. And the Thai baht crashed, and the Indonesian rupiah crashed. The ringgit didn't crash in Malaysia because they pegged their currency, you know, to gold. And so you have to do these kind of things. You have to maybe get rid of this 401k thing and make it a public infrastructure investment thing. Where people can, you know, because right now most Americans, they're tied to Wall Street. And, you know, whether they like it or not, I mean, they're sitting there cheering for it to go up because their 401k goes up when it goes up. And it's just a bad situation to be, you know, having to think like that because these people are evil. You don't want to chain your boat to an evil bunch like this. But the only way we can do that is offer them a retirement that's a publicly, say, a 5% return on a public infrastructure fund. So instead of borrowing from the Fed, we're borrowing from, you know, people, working people, right?
Right,
and that's
right.
That's where the government gets its money now, okay? And then we issue a new currency out of the Treasury Department. You also have to get out of the WTO because you can't even do any of this stuff according to WTO rules. So just get out of there, get out of NAFTA, all these trade agreements.
Exactly.
Number of things that you have to do all at once and on the same day, literally on the same day, by probably a martial law decree by the Obama administration. Otherwise, they're gonna ruin us. And yes, the stock market will collapse when this happens, by the way. So that's why you have to, I don't know, it's tricky, you know. But I've also heard a woman in London told me that was kind of an insider. She said that we could buy the Federal Reserve Charter for $4 billion. Then just buy it and just have it. So there's that, too. But, that's kind of my pet issue. I really, it just has to happen. And I think it's gaining some momentum. But time is short, because they've... Look at the history. They've done it over and over and over again. When they don't like your policies, when you try to do good things as a government, they just ruin you.
Absolutely. And then they do a false flag offense just to keep us off kilter and start wars and suck more blood and money out of us. So there, as you said, it is an evil process, and then it's intertwined with the various drug cartels, and as you point out in your book, most of the three-letter agencies are involved with running drugs and guarding drugs in other countries for the royals and other families, and in order to have funds for black operations.
Yep.
And of course, who's paying for the military? The United States taxes pay for the military.
Yep.
And I mean, it's ironic that we have a war on drugs, and our very own military is guarding and bringing them in here for us, you know.
Yeah.
So that we can get addicted and then have to become sick and go into the hospital, and we're being given viruses through vaccinations and other things, so that we can get sick and get into the big pharma loop.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of money in sickness.
Oh my God. You know, it's sickening when you realize how much is being bilked just from our own ignorance. And you know, I wouldn't blame any of these elites for laughing at us for falling for so many different things, but it's been like the frog in the pot. It hasn't been an instant process. It's been a very long, slow, deliberate process behind closed doors.
Yep.
Many of those doors, as you point out, being the secret societies, which have been infiltrated from the 33rd and 34th degrees and above.
Yep.
So, you know, when they have their fingers into everything, and that's how the pyramid works.
Yeah, it's creeping fascism, I call it.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's not even creeping anymore. It's running full force throttle. With cameras
just slow biometrics enough and that people won't get alarmed, though, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why it's just so insidious. But, I don't know. I mean, we just have to see. But I think the other thing, it's really up to us.
Yes.
And I think there's two sides of that coin where people in the conspiracy circles, you know, they just think these people are so omnipotent and there's no way we can beat them. And I don't really subscribe to that. And I think the other side of that coin is what David Icke talks about, and I try to talk about in my writing too, is, you know, just you have to believe in yourself as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. You have to really believe that I'm an animist, so I believe there's, you know, our ancestors help us, and I believe nature helps us. I believe that nature is a force of good, and if you're on that side, that you'll get help, and if you're working against it, you won't. And you know, these people are against it, and they just throw brute force at it, and it appears that they're winning, but actually they're losing at a deeper level of karma and such. But I think we have to really, personally, I think we have to have a kind of a spiritual basis for this. You know, not into organized religion by any means, of course, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You have to you have to know how powerful we are as human beings. And if you know that, then you'll know that these people are not that powerful. They're not that omnipotent. Now, we have a shot. And I think that's a lot of where people are at, too. There's just so many people out there. I mean, their whole message is really to hate yourself. I mean, to the media.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, your hair's dirty, buy our shampoo, your teeth are bad, buy this buy this toothpaste. Everything about you is bad, so you need this. And you can buy it from us for this amount, but it's all because you're bad. You know, you're
right.
Kind of this original sin thing.
Right.
You know,
right,
and, and it's and that's where they really disempower people, and that's the level that, people really need to just to pick me up, you know. They just really need to start believing in themselves again, and it's so hard because these just generations
of beaten down.
We've been beaten down. And especially Americans, you know, it's that way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's why Americans, they work too much, I mean, way too much. I mean, you know, people in other countries are playing cards in the afternoon or taking a siesta.
Right.
Maybe that's why they're not an economic superpower, but at least they're smiling and having fun.
Exactly. Creativity is encouraged.
Smoking a hookah, whatever.
And imagination and, and free thinking. Pondering.
That's
what happened to pondering?
There's more to life, you know, than being a robot. So, you know, so a lot of it's on us. And then once we can maybe start believing in ourselves, maybe we can vote for the right people. And, you know, anything's possible. It's just like if we were just aware, then this thing could go away tomorrow. It really is
true. I think that's possible.
It is possible. I know it's possible.
You know, we're coming up on December 21st, which is an auspicious time, no matter how you slice it or what one believes in as far as the Mayan calendar or any other prophecies, which all seem to point to this period in our history, that this is a time of enlightenment and consciousness being increased dramatically. And if we were united in our consciousness and not only hating ourselves, but not hating other people for any reason whatsoever, that our brothers and sisters of other skin colors and other shapes and sizes and other intelligences are still us, and at the heart level, we are all one.
Yeah,
that when you two people from two different countries, if they can't speak the same language, they know, they understand the language of the heart, and I bet you dollars to donuts you write about that in your book.
Oh yeah,
travel book.
Yeah, tons, and I experienced so many times. You go to these places, and it's really people are so much the same. They need food, shelter, water, and love. You know, what else do they need? And we're all so much the same. You know,
absolutely.
More than we are different, and you know, appreciating cultural differences, which are awesome, but. Just saying, you know, and so, yeah, exactly right. I mean, we just got to get it together at that level, that kind of collective consciousness, and I think also a class consciousness, especially here in America, is really lacking. You know, there really hasn't been a left in this country for quite some time.
Oh, no, no left at all.
You know, I mean, there's kind of, I don't know, Amy Goodman types, whatever, but they're all bought and they're timid and, I mean, and there's, you know, I don't know what else there is, but there's not much.
Not much.
We really don't have, you know, and a lot of that, I tell you, a lot of that's just our experience. It's living in an empire. And, you know, I'm glad I grew up working on a farm, you know, 70 hours a week. I kind of really am glad of that now, even though my back's feeling a little. But, I mean, I learned, and even though I got a master's and I'm a writer, I mean, it took me years to get my stuff out there, mainly because I had to go out there and make a living for my wife and I, because I didn't come from money. You know, and every time I worked, it was like behind a shovel on a dam or on a, you know, construction site. Or I mean, I didn't use my master's ever for a job. I never got paid hardly anything, but I always had that class consciousness because of that. I always saw those people next to me who didn't have an education, and I empathized with them. And that's what we need in this country more than anything is just that class consciousness, that empathy for people that don't have as much as us. And where did that go? You know, and
all
these Christians with their Bibles, it's just read your Bible, okay? If you're a Christian, read your Bible because that's what it says. You should. And,
it makes you wonder.
Makes you wonder.
Of course, there's a lot of documentation now that those who are groomed for top positions are groomed for their lack of empathy and their lack of conscience, and they call that being psychopathic.
Yeah, that's what they call that.
So
yeah,
we're really yeah. being run by a group of psychopaths. It's a very small percentage, yeah. but they have the ability to act mm-hmm. as if they care and to act mm-hmm. as if they have feelings. And so, mm-hmm. like you said in the beginning of the program, you know, those of us who give you know, credence to other humans, we just can't imagine anybody else not being like us.
Yeah.
There are predators that have been preying on us for, as you said, thousands of years,
yeah.
Possibly back to the time of the sun gods and and the Anunnaki. You get into that with your book too, which I think is really good that you dip into that, because mm-hmm. that is probably a part of our history.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning of priestly caste and the scientists who go run amok, and here we are reliving all this stuff all over again.
Yeah, and you're so right. It really is the inmates who run the asylum, and those are the
yeah.
people that rise to the top. And, you know, a long time ago, you and I, I'm sure, just said we don't even want to be at the top because, my God, these people are nuts. And you know, the scum really does rise to the top.
Yeah, right.
Like the
right.
Oh, yeah. So,
right.
yeah, it's that pyramid structure, right? It's that, yeah. and even groups. I mean, I'm ultimately, I suppose, I'm an anarchist politically, and I don't go to meetings. I can't do meetings even, because it's always like you go to some activist organizing thing, and
right.
somebody's trying
right.
to run the show, right? And there's this guy
right.
at the top that thinks he knows, and he's the dumbest guy in the room, right?
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and it's just so frustrating. So that whole template has to get washed
yes.
away. And
absolutely
it kind of,
right.
in some ways, you know, with the Occupy maybe, and with the WTO people, they are going that way. The Black Bloc and these kind of people, I mean, they are kind of going that way. They're
yeah.
they're kind of leaderless, and I think they get that. I think the younger
yeah.
kids get that, and that's
well, yeah,
maybe
yeah,
more
do.
Important than anything
yeah.
else to get. Is just we got to get rid of that template, that pyramid template, in every aspect of our lives, and these
yeah.
kind of power relationships that create. Yeah, the psychopaths
yeah.
as leaders, like you said.
And there are so many good examples. I mean, there are kids that are, you know, under 15 years old, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, who have begun projects that have become enormous win-wins. So one little girl, I think she was about 11, and she saw people going hungry, and she started growing these enormous vegetables, and it's become this, you know, like $100,000 business, which feeds thousands now.
Great.
You know, just out of her concern for other people. And, you know, there's solutions to everything. There is nothing
absolutely.
That can't be solved. I grew up on a ranch. It wasn't probably as big as the ranch that you were on, but it was a ranch where, you know, we had tractors and we grew corn and the rest of it. So I have that feeling.
Where did you grow up, Lance?
In Santa Barbara, California.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
My grandparents had a ranch there. And they came from Kansas in a covered wagon, and ironically, both of them were Masons. So the Manly Hall books were all on the shelf, and I used to pull them out and look at Manly's travels of the pyramids and stuff, and I think that's partially where I get some of my interest, because they never lectured or did anything. They led by example. And everything was in abundance, and the food tasted so much different.
Yeah,
as you know, food from the ground that you've grown with good soil that has all the nutrients in it is just, it melts in your mouth, and you can't stop eating it.
Yeah, they're really trying to kill us with this food. I mean, they're trying to kill us.
Oh, the GMO thing has got to go.
Oh, my God.
It has to go.
Yeah,
I mean, people need to be,
terrible.
Like, with pickets and shovels and you know. And
yep.
that's all part of the Nazi, backlash, you know, and the Bush agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people are going to have to dig into this and find out what's going on, because if yep. they don't, they're going to find themselves hornswoggled and yep. walking up that ramp to the slaughter, just like a cow on RBSH or whatever it is that they put them on to produce milk that is so devastating. And
yeah.
You know, their heads are going to be lopped off, and they're going to be in hamburger at McDonald's.
Exactly. That's what.
Won't be a happy face.
Yeah, no, it won't be a happy meal or a happy face.
No.
That's kind of my wife. You know, does a blog too. It's called Show Me Oz, and if people are interested in, you know, sort of getting back to nature, and she writes about the GMOs, and she does seed-saving talks, and she does that kind of angle. So, you know, people might be interested in checking that out too, but. Yeah, it's all the same thing. We grew up in, I guess that's why I quit academia. I had a full ride. I could have went to Hawaii, got a PhD. I said, no, I'm done with this, because what they're trying to do there is just basically segment your brain.
Yes, yes.
You know, disciplines. Yeah. I mean, just
yes, exactly.
Disciplines. Oh, I don't
exactly.
want no discipline, you know? I mean,
right.
I just want to know a little bit about everything. So
yeah.
It's all the same. It's you got to grow food, you got to fight these guys, you got to whatever. I mean, it's just try to do the right things and then get back to nature and do some traveling and do some, you know, fight for what's right. A lot of ways to do it, but look at it like a whole thing, not a split. And that's where we find unity too. You know, when we get rid of our dogmas and you know we
yeah.
start. You know,
and
most of my readers, honestly, on my blog, I've got I don't know 4,700 subscribers or something, and most of them are right wing libertarians. Honestly, I'm a lefty.
Huh.
You know, but isn't that crazy? But you know, I find common ground. You know, I try to find common ground. That's part of my deal. You know, don't ever count people out because they're
right.
You know, everybody's
right.
You know trying to find the truth and gotta find common ground. You know, it's really important. And the only way we're gonna do that, is by looking at the world as a whole, breathing entity.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
we're just a little bitty part of. You know, like I like a Lakota proverb, very good proverb. It says, you know, we're not much, but we're a whole lot more than nothing.
Oh, you're right.
And
right.
I like that a lot. You know.
And there must have been a reason why the elite made a grand attempt over the ages to destroy and kill all of the indigenous tribes, and they're still mm-hmm. working on it.
Absolutely. They had a great abundance of knowledge. They were the true
yes.
scientists. They made inferences. They made, you know, based on those inferences, they made things, they made judgments. They knew how to use things. You know, these scientists nowadays it's all phony science. It's not even science, you know.
Right, right.
You know, you take a monkey out of the Congo, you put him in a lab in New York, and you expect him to act like a monkey would in the Congo.
Right.
You know, that's just BS.
Right.
So these guys
yeah.
were the real scientists, and they really had, well, they were just sustainable. They were here for tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years, you know, and surviving, and everything was in balance. And, yeah, they had to get rid of them because they didn't have the pyramid. They didn't have
right,
the power elite didn't have any chance to rule these people. They wouldn't accept that, and you know, then they
and
had
they were
the,
connected to the spirit of things. That
the spirit
there,
of
that
things,
there actually
yeah.
is a spirit of things, and that's
yes.
where you mentioned being spiritual and
yep. exactly.
not necessarily having to rush to any religious organization.
Yeah, that's
anything
where I learned.
That gets organized
yeah.
seems to be designed to have some kind of mind control element to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I shy away from those. In fact, I go running in the other direction. You know, no, I don't want any of that. No more of that mind control stuff.
No,
and that's
no.
even in the New Age movement.
Oh boy, even
yeah,
worse,
I have tons of guests. Most of my guests are, you know, I'd say 99% of them are not really pushing that kind of New Age agenda. They have something really profound and authentic to share. So. But
yeah.
there's a lot out there that's snake oil.
I know.
you know.
There is, for sure. I stay away from all anything with the ritual or anything. I mean, I don't do sweat lodges with white people. I'll do them with Indians.
right, yes,
but
exactly.
But not with white people. They don't get it enough. But yeah, these New Agers, they try to sort of usurp this Native American stuff. And it's really almost worse than even the Catholic Church at some level to me. I can't stomach it. It's horrible.
Oh,
because,
yeah. Well,
you know, they're parading around like they're, I don't know. It's just horrible. And, you know, actually, I think it was in my book. You probably read it. But, you know, the New Age, first copy of New Age magazine, I got a photocopy of it. And it's inside the front cover. It says printed by the Grand Masonic Lodge of Washington, D.C., for real.
How interesting. Wow.
So Henry Kissinger was very involved with the beginning of the New Age movement, actually. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because,
yeah.
You know, they're controlled. They're just as controlled as every organized religion. Don't, you know, they kid themselves and think they're not, but they are. But, yeah, the first people taught me everything I know about reality. And and I've encountered just so many of them traveling. And we always try to go to the most remote places, you know, in these countries. I mean, I just don't travel the countries and click them off on my passport. I go and I try to dig in and go to these really remote tribes and stuff. And I've just learned so much and just had my mind blown so much by these people. And they just give me hope and humanity, real humanity. Excellent book by Calvin Luther Martin, people ought to read. It's called The Real Human Beings. about the Yupik in Bethel, Alaska. It's just a mind blower. Just how different their reality is from this dominance paradigm that we're living in. It's just a 180, man. It's so different and so full of love and just real stuff, you know. And nobody's tripping. Nobody's, you know, trying to be in power. You know, I mean, trying to live nature.
It seems that that's the natural, organic way that to be, that that's our natural state. And
yep.
We have somehow been derailed off of our natural condition, which is as loving, sovereign beings. And we have been compressed into these self-loathing skin bags that are addicted to all kinds of things that are not good for us, and including being dumbed down. And, you know, when people blame us for, you know, having given away our power, I don't agree with that. I think that this has been a multi-generational attempt to... work with dumbing down our genetics, and I think that they have accomplished a lot of that.
Yep.
And we aren't really entirely to blame.
No, it's a war. They've attacked us for, you know, centuries. We've just been under attack, and we're still under attack, which is, you know, why I'm a revolutionary. I believe in fighting back, you know.
I do, too.
Liberal and a revolutionary.
I do, too. And
I'm not laying down, you know. I'm not taking this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and it may boil down to... It's a war against humanity. It could be a spiritual war on a higher level.
Yep,
I know that's many people do talk about that going on, that the as above, so below, and we may be seeing that war playing itself out here in its final days, but I do think that it has an end, and I do believe that the meek do inherit the earth, and that the kind and loving people will prevail eventually.
Yeah, me too. For sure. I have no doubt. And just pick a team, you know, right now, because there's no... What's happening right now as far as reality is concerned is the middle of the road is washing out. You know, it's like the behind, you know, song, middle of the road. You know, it's like it's washing out. There is no middle of the road anymore. Sorry, you're going to have to pick a team.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, really, that's the reality that I'm seeing really kind of accelerating right now. There's no more kind of place to hide and be cowardly.
Yeah.
And you're either going to have to get on the side of right and have some guts and courage and you know, stick out like a, you know, a nail that sticks up and don't be afraid to, or you're going to have to kind of go with the evil ones and, you know, hope your 401k goes to the moon, I guess. But there's no more middle ground. That's part of the reality we're experiencing right now.
That's right. And I think that those who are on the inside, even if they have taken vows of secrecy, need to do the right thing according to their conscience if they still have one, and do what they can to change or expose what is occurring. There's a conspiracy of silence going on, and there are too few people sharing their information for fear of their families being killed or being. And I think people need to get some balls and, you know, grow them a little bit. And start being less afraid of speaking out for fear of death, because you can't kill everybody.
No, they tried. You know, they've tried to kill me twice, and they're 0-2, for example.
Oh,
and, you know, they're just not that smart. Okay,
uh-huh.
And they're just not. They're not that smart, but they have. And I don't. So why would I care? Why would I live in that kind of fear anymore? It's already happened to me twice, and they're 0-2. But it's ridiculous because, it goes back to faith, and it goes back to your understanding of reality, and.
Uh-huh.
You know, people think this is the only level of existence. No,
right.
It's not true. And if they do kill me, I'm just that much more of a pain in their ass in my next reincarnation, my next.
Right. Exactly.
So they don't really want to do that, even. But it's fear. Really, fear is just a huge drag on people, and it's so much more fun this way to live without fear. And it's just
absolutely.
People think it's
and
so
think
hard.
We...
Oh, if you know these things, it must be so hard. You must be depressed. You know, I get that sometimes. No, man, I'm not depressed. I'm really happy. I couldn't be happier because, you know, I think when you're not happy, it's because you're living in fear.
Right.
And you're not doing the right things that you know you need to do. And so your conscience, you know, that human conscience is always there, whether you acknowledge it or not. But if you acknowledge it and act on it, then you can be happy. But if you just sort of suppress it, and do the wrong things, then you're going to be unhappy. That's the way I look at it.
Yes, and sooner or later the universe is going to smack you around one way or another.
Yeah.
And the thing is that people often don't make the connection that that the universe dealing some blows is directly connected to our inability to align with our higher self.
That's right.
And
that's right.
With the highest intention for all of humanity, that we can't just be thinking of ourselves. We need to also move out of that selfish me society that we've been raised in and, you know, get, and start learning how to give, and, you know, learn that this is a sharing situation, sharing and caring, and that we're all interconnected, there's no way around it, and that those of the least of us are us. And, you know, that could be me sitting there, you know, on a street corner with a can with a few pennies in it, and, you know, instead of looking down on people that are less fortunate than us, it's so important to have compassion and think, what if that was me sitting there?
That's what my dad taught me.
Yes, exactly.
That's for sure.
Exactly. The golden rule. Heck.
Yep.
I mean, that covers a lot of territory right there. You don't have to pick up any books or go to any religious schools. If you just follow the golden rule, I think you'd be all right. But there's just so much BS with getting things and acquiring. And everybody wants a piece of the pie, but what they don't realize, this is the illusion, the pie's already been divvied up and taken.
Yeah. You can forget about the pie.
Right.
It's already been eaten.
Ain't no pie.
You know, see, might as well get with the other mice and, you know, throw some crumbs together and try to make some soup later or something.
Yeah, if you want to be a mouse, you can look for some crumbs. If you want to be a man, you can forget about the pie and do something constructive. Do something that is unexpected, that's outside the box.
Yeah, and to the degree that you don't learn that, like you say, the universe is going to smack you in. It's called learning, you know, and so if you're learning, then you don't get, I mean, I just know on a daily basis there is this instant karma, you know, and if you're sort of on the right track, then things go pretty smooth. If you're sort of not, then, you know, they're not, and to me it's just that simple. So why not have your life go a little more easily and do the right things?
Absolutely.
So it's really, in a way, it's a selfish thing. I mean, but a real selfish, not a phony, greed selfish thing, but an actual self, looking out for yourself, you know, not greedy way, but And then I think by extension of that, once you start really looking out for yourself, then you look out for others just automatically. Because, again, if you really are looking out for yourself, you'll know that we're all connected.
Yeah,
and there's no difference between the self and the other, actually. It's just a dualism. Yeah. There's nothing there.
Beautifully said. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a lot of what I get into in my travel book, too. It's a more philosophical
book,
you know, because it was India, you know, a lot of Eastern traveling.
All right. All right. Did you have any experiences with any spiritual teachers as you traveled in the East?
I lived in an ashram in India for a little while and did that, and that was great. And, I read a lot of Krishnamurti when I was over there.
Oh, yeah, I love Krishnamurti.
Yeah, he's great. He's so great. And he's really one of the greatest minds of, ever.
Definitely.
And there's all these great used bookstores in India, you know, where you can, you know, basically trade your last book in for next to nothing, you can get another book, you know.
Nice.
And old school, like you used to see here more, you know. But, and, you know, just been out in the jungle with some, you know, Indian shaman and stuff, too. And just I think that aspect is a big part of how we're going to get where we want to go. And, again, you can't separate the spiritual, the political, the intellectual, the physical. Mm. There's no separation of it. You know, the Lakota didn't have a word for brain, for example. Mm. They didn't even, you know, it's just to them it was just all... Or heart, you know, they didn't have a word for heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no lines there, you know. It's all the same, and it makes things a lot easier when you look at things that way.
Mm, absolutely, absolutely. I wondered how you dealt with taking in so much information that is, well, let's just say that it has the potential to really be a downer.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
you know.
Well, at first, yeah, I think at first it is, and I think a lot of the downer is just the people around you that you try to tell these things and they won't accept it. And
yeah.
I grew up in South Dakota where they're just poisoning the aquifer.
Oh,
everybody
geez.
In my town has cancer from Roundup,
oh,
and still to this day, so many of them just don't even acknowledge it. So there's that frustration, I think, that comes with that.
Yeah,
it's not so much
yeah.
the information you're hearing; it's just that your neighbors and friends and even family just
wow.
they think you're kooky. But we've gotten through all that, and I mean, actually, I have a lot of respect in those quarters nowadays because people are starting to see stuff even. But then again, it doesn't matter because I got over caring about what other people think. It really doesn't
well,
matter.
Right. That's an important step in the in the journey.
It's huge.
It's
yeah.
vital.
yeah, not to be mean,
yeah.
you know, but just to not really care when anybody else's perception of you is so important, except your own perception.
Right. It's their business, not mine.
yeah. And yeah, exactly. And just like that with other people, it's like, you know, so leave them alone,
yep.
leave me alone. No.
Yep, and unfortunately, so much of television and Hollywood and glamour and glitz is geared towards, you know, what other people think of us
right.
and what we
exactly.
think of them, and really, all of that is just useless mind activity that really creates a fragile ego that can be shattered very easily.
Yeah,
by trifles. And our attachment to material things is another thing I see being a major handicap here, that we're so attached to acquisition and things and material things that we've forgotten where they come from.
Yeah.
And we've forgotten our connection to the food we eat and the life that it represents and have the respect for that life. And I know you have that growing up in the country as you have, that you probably know all the animals that are on there, and every chicken. Maybe they even have names. I don't know.
Oh yeah, you named them and everything. And then
you love them.
Yeah, you cried when they were butchered and everything.
Yeah,
and,
right.
But you know that's part of the deal, and
that's right.
You know, that's just the way it is. But yeah, better than buying it at Safeway and via Cargill or whatever,
right.
Kansas meat packing plant where Mexicans are being enslaved. So yeah.
You know,
and it's just reality, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's just I think you know, people just have to really. I think that's a huge part of it too, though, is people just really have to really not care what anybody else thinks of them, and including and their parents is a big one. You know, if you see so many people who they're just really still living for their parents to kind of please their parents, you know. And, you know, hey, you should love your parents, but, you know, you don't owe them anything either in terms of being what they want you to be or something like this. And I think
right.
that really keeps people strapped in, you know, a lot of times.
Right.
And it's just kind of sad, you know. Your parents wouldn't want that. I mean, shouldn't want that anyway.
Right.
I wouldn't want that for my kids at all.
Absolutely.
Bad kids. But, so yeah, it's a rat race.
Well, in the I think we both agree on that conclusion, and on that happy note, we just have a few minutes left, and I thought maybe you could just share one thought that you might want to leave us with, and then if you would mention your website and your book. And also your wife's website, because I want to look into that. And if you could mention again that book by Calvin Luther Martin.
Yeah.
This would be the best time to do it.
Sure, yeah. I'll go backwards on that one. But Calvin Luther Martin is the guy's name. And it's called The Real Human Beings. Excellent book.
Okay.
Yeah, and, well, I just say keep the faith and keep fighting for what's right. People, to all your listeners out there, because I know you have a good listenership, conscientious people.
Oh, yeah.
And thanks for having me on. And yeah, my website is just, you know, deanhenderson.wordpress.com. It's called Left Hook, and I just do a weekly column, sometimes more than that, and all of my interviews. Yeah, send me a link to this one, if you would, Lance. I'll put this one up there, too, for my blog readers. But it's free to subscribe to. You can just click the upper left button and get my column every week if you want. And, yeah, then my books, Big Oil and Their Bankers, the one you mentioned.
Right.
And then The Grateful and Rich, that's my travel book. Again, a more kind of a deconstruction of the neocolonial mindset and materialism and all this stuff and capitalism. And then Sticking It to the Matrix, which is more of a practical guide to getting out of debt and out of the city and living free. and then just kind of extracting also from the system in little ways. But those are all available at Amazon or at my website. And then my wife's website is just called Show Me Oz.
Okay.
Just Google Show Me Oz. Be the one there.
Wonderful.
And,
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, cool.
And I just want to also put a plug in before, you know, we reach the end of the show. I just want to put a huge plug in to the people at Veterans Today who are doing an incredibly wonderful job of getting facts and information and spiritual information and helpful information out to the veterans and to those. I mean, I look at that. I go to that site every day, and I get most of my news from Veterans Today.
Yeah.
Gordon Duff is an excellent writer. I have somebody else coming on my show that writes about the near-death experience. So there is a wealth of material from there, and
I can't thank you
enough for being courageous and to have the spirit and the rebelliousness to bring all this together for us so that we can, you know, we can find out what's really going on and then make more informed choices. You're just doing an incredible job out there.
Well, thanks so much, Lance. And I just really appreciate you having me on. I really enjoyed talking with you. You seem like a really good person. And you're doing a great job, too, with the show, man. So keep it up.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Dean.
You bet.
All right. Well, I wish you the best, and we'll be in touch. And thank you for being on.
Okay, you too. Keep the faith, brother.
All right, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.